May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 627. Poor sinner, dejected with fear, unbosom thy mind to the Lamb. No wrath on his brow he does wear, nor will he poor mourners condemn. His arm of omnipotent grace is able and willing to save. A sweet and a permanent peace he'll freely and faithfully give. Hymn 627.
us read together for our instruction from the book of the Revelation, chapter 3. The book of the Revelation, chapter 3. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain, that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast, and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, and he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increase with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with thyself, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And the Lord instruct us from his own holy word and help us to pray. Gracious and merciful Lord God, we need the gracious assistance of thy Holy Spirit that we may come in prayer to pray those things which may be in accordance with thy good pleasure. That thou mayest honour the poor sinner who comes mourning at thy feet, having to pour out their heart because they feel the iniquity and the sin deep dyed within. And as therefore such may come, and we would come in that manner to confess our many sins, to mourn over them, but to plead of thee thy mercy, and to seek that thou wilt not deal with us according to our sin, nor reward us according to our iniquity, but in that mercy to pardon us. Blot out our transgressions. Remove them as far as the east is from the west. Cast them into the very depths of the sea, where there is no rising, that we may be set at liberty, brought into the blessedness of the gospel, to know the power of the word within our own souls, to find that it breathes comfort to us as we have set before us the finished work of Jesus Christ, thy dear Son, who thou didst send into the world, who came so willingly, so readily, to be found in fashion as a man, that he may accomplish those are things of which he was commanded so to do. And as he received the commandment of the Father, so he did. Lord, there was nothing left undone. He fulfilled all righteousness. We have to confess, Lord, that we cannot, not of ourselves, do one good thing. All our rags are filthy. There is nothing, Lord, that we can boast of. We have to mourn our very thoughts. And a man control of those thoughts. Lord, we find that so often is the case. Before we see the snare, we feel the smart. And so, Lord, are trapped, entrapped in the very nature of which we are born. But, Lord, it is thy mercy. If thou hast given us a new nature, that we have known the power of the Spirit's work in quickening us into divine life, that we may breathe after thee, long for thee, and also to possess those things which are freely given of thee. We pray for that faith, for the increase of it. We would believe, help thou mine unbelief. Lord, we often have to prove that it is only as we come to depend alone upon the merits of Christ, and so often come there because we are driven there, because we have nowhere else to go, no one else to go to no one else but to the dear Redeemer. Lord, we would therefore prostrate ourselves at his feet. Though as John saw him, as in all his ascended glory, as one who had a white raiment, and eyes as flame of fire, out of whose mouth went a two-edged sword. And so the glory of his countenance and of his presence brought John to fall on his face. But Lord, thou didst speak those words, which are surely our words which must be the consolation of every one that fears thy name. I am he that liveth, that was dead, and behold, I am alive again. O Lord, it is therefore the life that we have through him. We have no other life that we can boast of. But we would make our boast in the Lord, for all his benefits and many blessings, of which, Lord, we are unworthy. But, oh, do make us thankful. Give us more and more a thankful heart. Keep us from murmuring as those Israelites did. Though we often have to confess we do murmur. Lord, may we see thy gracious hand divinely appear, whether it be through the reading of thy word, answers to our prayers, through the word of the ministry, which is applied with power, whether it be through those of the writings which have been penned by gracious men who have tasted and handled the word of life and are not ignorant of the teaching of the Spirit, nor of the trials and troubles and persecutions and exercises of thy living family, but they have walked in the path, and may we find encouragement therefore, even in that which is read. We do, Lord, thank thee that we have, such a testimony. The testimony of the scripture itself and those that are mentioned therein, and the testimony of the long line that have followed since. And Lord, our hope is that we are found and shall be found as one with them. Now, Lord, we do pray that they would grant thy blessing upon this people. Thou knowest, Lord, each and every one's need, spiritual, providential. We commend them to thee. We would remember those that are absent at this time, some away for rest and change, some may be unable to attend because of those are things that do concern them in their business and the things of life. Others, O Lord, because of parental responsibilities. And so, Lord, we do commend them and the children into thy hands. We will be thankful, Lord, for those who in growing up into years have continued in the attending upon the means of grace. Lord, we do desire that there may be that done, that heard which may be a constraining word upon them, to be followers of the Lamb, and to find that where thy people are, they are their best friends, their kindred. Lord, bore their ears, as it were, to the doorpost. Make them lively hearers. May they therefore in a due time be able to testify of thy dealings with their never dying soul. Oh, we would therefore commend them unto thee, and those older in years also. Lord, thou knowest sometimes how fearful some are lest they in seeking to venture in the way that thou hast so graciously commanded and set forth, yet they fear lest they should bring a reproach, yes, they should falter and bring a shame. They may fear that they do not possess what they see others to possess. They may think that they come so short in so many things, not realizing that it is the experience of those who may have ventured in faith, in humbly following thee in those ordinances of baptism and the Lord's Supper. Lord, we need thy constraining hand. Oh, do put it upon such that they may come to the day, their heart enlarged, that they run in the way of thy commandments. We would desire, Lord, thy mercy, and help to those that bear office. Do, Lord, grant them that needed help in the varying matters that they have to attend to. And sometimes, Lord, they may feel their great lack of wisdom. But we have that word, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. We do pray that there will be mindful of all the little causes of truth. We say of all the little ones, there are many that are thus small. In this our day and generation, many minished and brought low. And not only are the varying congregations brought low, but some, yea, many, many a door is shut, no longer to have the gospel preached, and this saddens our heart. The Lord, we see the solemn decline, as the enemy increases in its own learning, and its secularizing of many things. Its materialistic outlook, its covetous nature, its idolatrous manner, going after men, setting them upon pedestals, and crazily coming before them in varying ways. Oh Lord, what a dizzy world we live in, and a world that has turned their back upon Thee, a world that has cast Thy word aside, a world that has desecrated Thy holy day, a world that has blasphemed Thy holy name. With what regularity it is heard, and what, Lord, we have to mourn is over our own self, that we become so accustomed to it, it does not have the effect that it should. But we would tremble. We would tremble, Lord, even at the very sound of such awful language. Lord, may we come to revere Thy holy and precious name, so that we may be zealous for thy name, and know that in feeling its preciousness, we are greatly affected and alarmed by those who take it in vain and misuse it and abuse it. We do, Lord, desire that Thou wilt look upon our land, our sinful land. Lord, we know nothing is impossible with Thee. Oh, that Thou mightest rend the heavens and come down. Oh, that Thou mayest turn men's hearts. One did plead in this wise, the arm short that it cannot say, or thine ear heavy that it cannot hear. O Lord, do condescend. Come and again revive. Revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known in wrath. Remember mercy. Have mercy upon our sovereign Queen. Her long reign, her increasing age, we may even say her great age, and all the difficulties that she finds herself in, and how she has to conduct herself. Lord, though there may be those things wherein we would say, if only our Queen could make that stand, yet, Lord, we realize the predicament, not to make an excuse for her, but we know not how sometimes she may feel, even before Thee. Lord, could it please Thee to grant her that spirit of penitence and sorrow over sin, that she may come into the presence of the King of Kings and find a willingness to cast her crown, as it were, at thy feet, and to own that thou art God. Oh, that she may know the quickening power of thy Spirit. Lord, we pray for her in these matters, and also for the royal house itself. Lord, we need one to ascend the throne who, like the previous king, called for those days of prayer, led a nation that was at war, and saw those conspicuous deliverances. Oh Lord, different is the war today in many respects. Not literal war, but the spiritual war. Lord, we pray that thou wilt appear. Now do pardon our every sin, and every sinful thought, sinful word, and sinful action. And what we have omitted, Lord, do also forgive. So hear us now in heaven, thy dwelling place. Make up in giving where we failed in our asking. We ask it for Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 323. When darkness long has veiled my mind, and smiling day once more appears, then my Redeemer, then I find the folly of my doubts and fears. Hymn 323.
Thank you.
Yes, Lord, may be pleased to help me. Or direct your attention to the book of the Revelation, chapter 3, and read in the 4th verse. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. The book of the Revelation, chapter 3, and the 4th verse. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. What a great mercy it is that the Spirit records here that there are a few names, even in Sardis. The Lord has his remnant. However few they may be, he will not cast them off. Even though we may sometimes fear that we shall be cast off, when his all-searching word tries our own heart, we are brought under a sense of our own failings, the wretchedness that there dwells, and to think that our heart is such, when he has been such a good and gracious and merciful God, when he has displayed himself, as you've just sung, as the God who loves, and he loves poor sinners, sensible of the knowledge of these things, because of they that are sensible of their sin are made to feel their vileness, brought before a holy and heart-searching God, and made tender in his fear, will know something of confession before him, will know something of repentance, will know something of fear which will bring you to tremble at the word and at the presence of your God. But you will tremble in thankfulness because he does not deal with your sins as you so richly deserve. He does deal with your sins. He's dealt with your sins. What a contemplation. Where have your sins been placed? Well, the sins of the whole Church of God and the sins of every truly penitent sinner are laid upon Christ. That is where faith will view and look to see those sins laid upon him. Then you see him as your glorious sin bearer and one well able to deal with your sin. If there was not one who was sent, if the Holy Son of God had not been sent to the Father to this work of redeeming his many sons to glory, then we would be cast forever into hell. And this is the ground upon which we must begin. Some may begin their
considerations on the fact that there is some good in man somewhere, somehow. But those that are taught by God will know that there's no good in them. No good at all. Some will state that if God is a God of love, then why is there such suffering and such affliction? It's only what we deserve. We do not deserve anything, not one a kindness from God. Because we have vilely withstood and contradicted his own very existence by nature. And do not point the finger at those that may openly, blatantly speak as though there is no God. Have not those voices been heard in your own soul? But what has brought you to know differently? Because he has not dealt with those sins as you deserve. Well, it's a wonderful thing when we are brought to this knowledge that there are a few names, even in Sardis. It is therefore a wonder of wonders that there should be those that will be called out in that great and solemn day, their names being there in the Lamb's Book of Life. And shall you be amongst them? A few names called out from Swaversey. A few names that may be called out from the various cities of our land. A few names from the cities of the earth. Well, we know that when God called out Abraham from Ur of the Chaldees, he was called out alone. Alone. And he and his wife and nephew Lot left Haran to go to the land that the Lord had appointed. And from Abraham there came forth the generations which were named Israelites after Abraham's grandson, Jacob. And these knew the testimony of God. They received the holy oracles. They had the prophets. They believed that they were granted many a conquest in the battles that were raged when the heathen came up against them. And though they were taken into another land, Egypt, yet they came forth and inherited that which the Lord had promised to Abraham. And so we see the Lord's conspicuous mercy and goodness to a natural people. But what do we read in Isaiah? If it had not been that the Lord had a very small remnant, we had been swallowed up. Well, it is so today. The glorious gospel has gone forth into the far corners of the earth. The blessed gospel has come to those that are Gentiles after the flesh. We've seen the Lord's wondrous work in bringing many to a knowledge of that salvation wrought by Jesus Christ. But we come into a day where it must be said, that there are only just a few, as though that which should be a surprise. No, it is the Lord's mercy that thou hast a few names, even in Sardis. Near Sardis, her works were not as they should be. As it was for the 5 out of the 7 churches, there were those things of which the Spirit may say, I have somewhat against thee. What a searching there must be in our hearts. Does the Spirit have somewhat against us? What is our profession? How do we walk before men? What will they say of us? Will they have just cause to question whether we are the people of God? Well, they may question it. They may not have just cause to question it, though. But there are those times, those are things wherein they have every right to question. Because we do not walk consistently with our profession. And in that sense, we defile our garments. It's a great mercy to be kept outwardly. We know that inwardly we have to prove that there is the den, where there are those thieves that would try and buy and sell and buy their wares, those thieves that would try to rob us of all the blessings and comforts that we may have through the word and through the ministry and through the gracious work of the Spirit within. They may try to rob you of those things, and perhaps for a little while you feel robbed and spoiled. There you are, laid low, laid bare, stripped and half dead, like the dear man who went from Jerusalem down to Jericho. It was not the right direction, was it? Are we backsliders? Solemn to be a backslider in Zion. But the backsliders in Zion that are then brought to be mourners in Zion, they will be blessed. Oh, for a mourning spirit. To mourn this day over your sin and your iniquity. You will have to mourn over those inward sins. You will have to mourn over the things that perhaps you've not done and should have done. You may have to mourn over those sins that may be well hidden from the eyes of the world. You know they're not hidden from God. They may be well hidden from the eyes of the professor or even the people of God themselves. And shall they gather around you and say such pleasant things when you know you have offended them, offended their God? Walk contrary to his word. Oh, that we may be given that grace of true penitence. Seek it, friends. Seek that the Lord will show you your sin. You know the prayer that the Scottish minister, I think his name was Hugh MacPhail, but it matters not what his name was. He spoke to the kitchen maid and asked her to pray a prayer. And that prayer was, show me myself. Later, he exhorted her to pray a different prayer. Show me thyself. You know, they are the two prayers that a true child of God will never be able to let go of. You'll have to pray those prayers daily. And sometimes the Lord may answer the one, and sometimes he may answer the other. Sometimes you may have to prove what you really are, and he shows you the depths of your depravity. To think that all the things that you have thought you had, that you were, and bound up in it is nothing other than spiritual pride. But then the Lord gives you something of a reality. You realize then that it is a gift. It's not something that you can or dare boast of because you had no part in it. Sovereign mercy, the saving work of Christ. There you were at the very mercy of him, when as he looked upon Peter in his sin, oh, it could have been a look that forever manifested the eternal wrath of God against Peter's denial. But instead, it was a look. Yes, it may have charged him with his sin, but it also spoke forgiveness. It also showed forth mercy. And you know, that broke Peter's heart more than any thunderings of Sinai could do. He went out and wept bitterly. But that is what we need to see in Zion. A few souls that weep bitterly because of sin. And then there will be some happy mourners, as the hymn writer calls it, who will rejoice in the power of pardoning love. Well, there are a few names, even in Sardis. And as we speak, does your heart leap with the hope? It may not be much more than a hope, although a hope which is of the Spirit given is a real hope. It's not a hope so, as some may flippantly use it. Yes, you do but hope. You hope against hope. That is what Abraham did. He hoped against hope when he was walking the path of deep trouble, of a solemn realization of what he himself had been left to. Remember, the promise that had been given him concerning his seed, he thought he could hasten the matter. But the Lord did not remove his promise. God is a God who fulfills every promise that he has spoken. He cannot go against his word. He cannot go against his covenant purpose. He cannot remove from those whom he's loved with an everlasting love, that love, and therefore cast his dear people away. No. He maintains them. A few names, even in Sardis. Well, if the Lord therefore has begun his work, remember what the word says. He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it. There's no if and buts in the work of grace. It's certain. It's certain. And this was the consolation of these few in Sardis. This little remnant. They were safe and sound. And let us just consider this. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. Now we have spoken of the outward profession. It is very important that we guard our outward profession with all carefulness and zeal, so that we may not bring dishonor or disrepute upon the name and cause of Christ. It's solemn when it is so. And that is why there is the need for discipline in the churches, when it is carried out in the fear of God. Oh, that the one, or the ones that fall under such discipline, are brought to show a spirit of humility. That is what we need, humility. What will a humble soul do? Well, it will be made ready to leave its offering at the altar and go and be reconciled with their brother. What will humility do? It will make us ready to say, I'm sorry. Perhaps not altogether for what you've done, in the sense of whether it was right or wrong, but because of the sadness, the difficulty, the problem which you may have caused by your actions. And you know, we have to even be sorry sometimes because of that spirit that rises up, a self-justifying spirit. That is not acceptable in the sight of God, you know. It may be, perhaps, in your conceited eyes to think, well, I was not wrong. I know I was not wrong. But let there be the spirit of humility. Let there be that willingness to seek to our utmost bounds to ever be reconciled to our brother, our sister, that Christ may indeed be reconciled to us and with us. Well, the solemnity of defiling those garments, but a great mercy if we are kept in many occasions. Oh, we may often have to say, there go I, but for the grace of God. And that is it, isn't it? there I go, but for the grace of God. We have no stones to throw. About these that have a few names, that are the few names that are written, it is said that they have not defiled their garments. Now, if we've defiled our garments in our profession openly, then what will cleanse it? What will wash it away? What will evidence that all that we may have been guilty of can now be lost? Lost sight of. Well, it's true repentance. God gives it. You won't be able to manufacture it. God gives it. Sweet repentance is as the water that washes and the precious blood of his justifying merits will then make you acceptable before God and before his people. I was going to say, before God and men, no, they will not receive your Saviour, they therefore will not receive you. But those whom he saved, they will receive you. They'll be willing to receive you when they themselves know something of the light washing, of that regenerating and repenting grace. Oh, then, there's a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. There is a garment that is very precious, and that is faith. Let it be known that without faith it is impossible to please God. But as that is so, also the opposite is true. That if we walk in and by that faith, then we shall please God. What did it say of Enoch? And Enoch was not, because he walked with God. He walked with God and was not. And he walked by that faith. That was how Enoch walked. And whether we may be like Enoch, and it has not been the divine purpose of God that there should be another like Enoch, except we perhaps may say Elijah, who was translated and did not see death. All others have been brought to die, and they must die until that last moment when the trumpet shall sound and there will be those that remain. We do not know how many, neither do we know who, but we know this: the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which remain that are in Christ shall be gathered up with him forever in the, to be ever with our Lord. Blessed contemplation, sweet anticipation, if you have that humble belief. Now, this is what faith is. It's sweet believing in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ to supply for you every need, spiritual need, for we are but poor empty. We are poor naked sinners. We need to be clothed. We need to be filled. Who can fill us? are only the Lord himself will fill us. It's a sovereign work, but it's a certain work. God is faithful as promised. He will feed his hungry poor. He will supply them with all that is required. Do you come naked? Well, a top lady pens it like this, naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Saviour, else I die. And there are a few names, there's a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. This garment of faith, in one sense, can never be defiled. And yet, we may find that it is often assailed by unbelief from the old nature. It will be assailed by assertions of old nature that wish to be something. That faith, when it views the Lamb, will there be humbled at his very feet. Oh, then, to be brought to know that humbling grace, we're brought to his footstool. It's a good place to be, though. That is where living prayer will be poured out. That is where we shall know the grace of supplications. And that is where we shall also add to that grace of supplications thanksgiving. A poor, unworthy, wretched worm of the earth, yet complete the merits of Christ. Well, these then, they have not defiled their garments. They have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me. Oh, what a testimony of the Lord of the Spirit to his church, his living family, the true child of God. They shall walk with me in white. Yes, they may not feel perhaps at present that such a term can be used, but it shall be. When we are done with this world and done with the things of it, and this old self is then lost in death, then our soul, set in glorious liberty, shall walk with him in white. And that which he receives, that vesture, that garment, it will be nothing other than the sacred righteousness of Christ himself. Remember, it is what we are, in Christ. We must walk in him. As ye have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. And yes, that blessed righteousness imputed will be the confidence of a child of God who has no righteousness of his own, knowing that he is justified alone through Christ. That is where our justification is seen. It's in Christ. For from the foundations of the earth. Christ, who was there, considered as one slain because it was in the purpose of God that an atonement will be made for those who require. Bringing again unto their God, and being made one and whole and complete. For sin indeed has broken us, divided us, separated us from our God. But the blood of Jesus Christ that makes us near. We come to the blood-sprinkled mercy seat. We find access here as we may approach. And this matter of access, I want to just pause for a moment. There are times when we may be able to say we have sweetly, blessedly felt access to the throne of grace. But you know, access does not depend upon your feelings. You may sometimes get up from your knees and fear that all your prayer is shut out, but he hasn't. No, because he hears the plaintive cry of his people. But he may not perhaps satisfy you at the time with a sense of access. But how sweet will it be when you receive the answer? Then you will be like the psalmist who said, when the Lord turned again our captivity, we were like them that dreamed. You could hardly believe that the Lord would do it. But you prove then that the Lord is a prayer-hearing and a prayer-answering God. These few whose names, precious isn't it that he may call us by name. These names, they're all known to him. And to think that my name, your name, it cannot be left out. There's a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white. Yes, whatever we may feel whilst traversing this wilderness, sometimes affected by the dust of this desert, the dust of sin. Sometimes we may be affected by the contrary winds of doctrine, or shall we say of error. Sometimes we may be overcome by those, by darkness and by the sense of barrenness in this wilderness. And therefore we cannot perhaps feel that we are walking with the robe of whiteness, though we may desire it. But they shall walk with me in white. And now we must come, because our time is going, to these last words, for they are worthy. It seems almost an amazing word here. When you, under the teaching of the Spirit, who has convinced you first of sin, that here you are, feeling your vileness, unworthiness, that it should be said, for they are worthy. I asked them whence their victory came. They, with united breath, ascribe their conquest to the Lamb, their victory through his death. That is what makes us worthy. We have none other to rest, no other merit to rest upon than the Lamb himself, and the Lamb is worthy. So it is with all those that are chosen in him, all those that are redeemed through his precious blood, all those who are led of the Spirit, all those that are brought under the sanctifying work of the truth. For thy word is truth. And our Lord and Saviour prayed in his prayer unto his Father, sanctify them by thy truth. And it is the truth that will bring us to know that the only worthiness that we have is in the merits of him who is our justifier, but also he is our sanctification. I think it would be suitable to just read those words at the end of the first chapter of the first epistle of Paul to the Corinthians. And remember, some of there were those in the Corinthian church that have brought such discord, difficulty, partiality, trouble. Oh, we could go through all the various things that the apostle had to deal with at the church of Corinth. But in this first chapter, we read this. I'll read a little of it. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him. Ye are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. But according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. These are worthy. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Chapman will preach next Lord's Day and Mr. Font on Tuesday evening next week. Let us close with hymn 1098. O God of mercy, hear my call, my load of guilt remove. Break down this separating wall that bars me from thy love. Hymn 1098.
Bless the word, O Lord. Pardon what has been amiss. Take us each in peace and safety to our homes. And the watch between and over us each. We ask it for Christ's sake. May the grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us evermore. Amen.